بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Introduction. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. Muhammad Rahim Ba Mohiyadin, may Allah be pleased with him, was an Islamic Sufi mystic. Little is known of his personal history until the early 1900s, when a few people caught a glimpse of a holy man in the jungles of Sri Lanka. Sometime later, a pilgrim invited him to a nearby village, and with that began his public life as a teacher of wisdom. In 1971, he was again given an invitation, this time to the United States. He accepted, and until his death on December 8, 1986, he traveled throughout the United States, Canada, England, and Sri Lanka. Wherever he went, he tirelessly answered the many personal and mystical questions people brought to him. The name Mohiyadin literally means the giver of life to the true belief. And indeed, Ba Mohiyadin did spend his life awakening and strengthening people's faith in God. A simple, unlettered man, he inspired people from all walks of life and came to be recognized as a true saint by many scholars and leaders from the Hindu, Christian, Judaic, and Islamic communities. Although he rarely spoke of himself, saying that only God's history was important, he did share freely of the experiences he had in his search for God. Some of those experiences took the form of mystical journeys, a small number of which were related to scribes in Sri Lanka and recorded in the 10 mystical experiences. These are yet to be published in English. The journeys described in this book are much simpler and easier to understand. They were related in 1982 and were originally meant to be part of a collection of short stories for children. However, because they were so unique, it was decided to publish them separately. In 1975, during a radio interview on WBAI in New York, Ba Mohiyadin was asked about his mystical experiences. His answer helps to put these journeys into proper perspective. Lex Hickson: I want to ask Ba Mohiyadin one or two questions about his mystical experiences. First, we are interested to know whether he actually lived these experiences, or are these words just symbols of other realities? Next.
Hamza Bibi, would you like to read?
Yes, thank you. Alhamdulillah. Bismillahirrahmanirrahim, Mr. Ba Mohiyadin. These are not symbols. These were paths I saw and traveled along. I have experienced these directly. They aren't just stories, but it is not good to speak too much about these things. We are not this body, which is made up of earth, fire, water, air, and ether. When man dreams, he sees many different wonderful things, but those marvelous visions are merely his thoughts being visualized. As soon as he reaches out to grab them, he awakens to find them gone. The experiences I had are not like those dreams, for in them, the picture that was taken actually existed and still exists. The people are real, the history is real. The earth, fire, water, air, ether mind is always sleeping. That mind is not really the person. And these mystical experiences are not known through that mind. But rather through wisdom, the soul, and the grace of God, which together fly round and round looking at the cities of illusion and at the wondrous cities of God. They discover the secrets of those cities and uncover layer after layer of explanations of what is right and what is wrong, what is illusion and what is truth. They determine which water is good and which is poisonous, which will give the good taste and which will give the bad taste. Thus, wisdom, the soul, and the grace of God inquire into everything. And facing each directly, they conclude, this is what the seven hells are, and these are the eight heavens. Then they ask, what do these eight heavens mean? What do they signify? Now, heaven and hell look the same, but their taste is different. Hell might appear to be resplendent, but once you see the light of truth, hell disappears. As long as there is no truth, hell shines in its own light. But we shouldn't accept that as the true light. A man who doesn't know what gold is might think that copper is gold or everything that glitters is gold. But a wise man will test it. First, he will rub the metal against a stone and then drop some acid on it. If it is real gold, it will not be marred. But if it's not, it will dissolve under that acid. Like this, when the wisdom of the soul and the essence of truth pick up something, they first rub it on testing stone and then pour the acid of wisdom over it. Whatever dissolves is false. Whatever stays without disappearing is true. These are direct, face-to-face scenes I have experienced. All the secrets of God's creation can be revealed through the soul, wisdom, and grace. But these things cannot be revealed to this body, to desire, or to the mind. They are not revealed to the senses, which relate to the earth. The body, the mind, and the senses are sleeping. Off to the side somewhere, while wisdom, the soul, and the grace of God go secretly, quietly, to discover the inner meanings. Not everyone will be able to experience this. It is rare to find someone who can attain that full power. Whoever does have this ability is a kutu, one who has achieved divine analytic wisdom. I am not like that. I am still a student, still learning. I'm only relating to you what I have already learned on my path. There is much more to learn. What we have learned so far amounts to a mere handful of earth. Our heart consists of just one handful. No matter how much we have studied, all that we have learned through our mind and desire and body amounts to no more than a fistful of earth. Once you transcend this and start studying beyond, then what you learn will amount to all that is in the entire universe. What remains to be studied after transcending this handful of earth amounts to the whole world. This is how it is, my brother. I don't know if we want to, we can read. Note to the reader. The following traditional supplications written in Arabic calligraphy will be found periodically throughout the text. That symbol, following Prophet Muhammad or Rasulullah, stands for Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, blessings and peace be upon him. Another symbol, following the name of a prophet or angel, stands for Alayhi Salam, peace be upon him. And a third symbol, following the name of a companion of Prophet Muhammad, a saint or a caliph, stands for Radiallahu Anhu or Radiallahu Anha. May God, may Allah be pleased with him and her.
Thank you. Ali, do you want to continue with the first chapter of Prayer for Our Journey on page 3?
Bismillah Rahman Rahim, a prayer for our journey. Bismillah Rahman Rahim, in the name of God, most merciful, most compassionate. I give you my love, my grandchildren, my sons and daughters, my brothers and sisters. All praise and praising belong to Allah alone, to God, the one of limitless grace and incomparable love. He is the one who sees all lives with that amazing love and protects all lives with his compassion and his many qualities that never waver from justice or equality. God is a power. He has no form or shape. He is alone. And yet he is everywhere, existing as an eternal power that dwells in all lives and sees them all as one. God is the one who creates, protects, and sustains. He is the one treasure for all of creation, for the earth, the sky, the sun, the moon, the body, and the soul. He is the one treasure for life, for love, and for goodness. He knows the needs of every life and feeds it accordingly. He is the supreme power who gives the milk of grace to all lives. The power called God is an ocean of grace that never diminishes, no matter how much is taken from it. He is an ocean of bliss, wisdom, love, and compassion. He is an ocean of divine knowledge or ilm, from which each life can take whatever it needs for the freedom of its soul in all three worlds. The primal beginning, known as Awal, this world of earth, or Dunya, and the hereafter, or Akhirah. This vast ocean contains the exalted treasures of all three worlds and bestows them upon all creations without partiality, without enmity, and without regard for individual innocence or guilt. The one who gives in this way, with compassionate love and grace, is the power known as God. This is the power we must turn to. This is the power we must look to with our wisdom, in order to acquire his qualities and receive his wealth. We must strive to receive the life of grace that comes from this power and live our lives finding completeness within that grace. My children, if you strive with awareness, you can receive and develop wisdom, love, good qualities, and good actions. You must study and learn about the divine knowledge of life that creates, protects, and sustains. You must understand both the state of Allah and the state of a true human being, or insan. You must know how the qualities of such a being can intermingle and become one with Allah's qualities. The children who do understand the subtle divine knowledge of life are God's children of grace, the children of the perfect, pure kingdom. My children, if this kingdom is formed in your heart and you rule it with absolute equality, showing no partiality whatsoever and regarding nothing as God's equal, if this pure kingdom of the Lord of the universes, the Rabbil Alameen, becomes the spotless house of your heart, then that heart will become his kingdom and you will exist in the innermost heart of his heart, the call of his call. Once you open this kingdom within the heart, there you will find a house of mystery, a house without blemish, a house complete in Alhamdulillah, the endless and undiminishing praise of God. And when you look at this house, which you have built with his protection and made into his house, you will see that this is heaven. This is paradise, and the perfect and pure palace of Allah's benevolent and undiminishing grace. In this house, there will be no more darkness, torpor, or differences. But if instead you build a house of envy, that house will become the hell in your life. My children, you must find this house in the innermost heart. You must know it to be absolute and real. Once you know that Allah's house is the call within your call, then your innermost heart will become the house of the hereafter here in this world. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. We'll continue on page 9, the shepherd and the tree. Amira, would you like to read?
The shepherd and the tree, page 9. I give you my love, my grandchildren, my sons and daughters, my brothers and sisters. May God help you. Every single part of your body needs God's help. Your heart, your eyes and hands, every muscle, your blood and flesh and bones. You need his grace, his light, and his help in your every quality and action. My children, come with me. I have walked along this path before. On this journey, there are 10 tests for cutting illusion or Maya and severing the attachment to the world. The 9th test, which you must now pass, concerns the world and the nature of the world. My Sheikh, the light form called Nur Muhammad, explained this test to me long ago. Now it is time to show you what he showed me. My children, look off in the distance. Can you see that huge rocky mountain there? Cows, goats, horses, donkeys, and many other animals are grazing in the field at the base of the mountain. That land is the world, and it is filled with millions upon millions of grazing beings. When dusk comes, they all climb up the mountain to rest. And in the morning, when the light dawns, they come back down to the world again to graze upon the weeds of sin, anger, haste, vengeance, deceit, treachery, property, blood ties, and possessions. Yet even while they are grazing upon these evil things, God is unceasingly trying to provide them with good food and to teach them the divine knowledge known as ilm. Above the field, the mountainside is covered with millions of birds and monkeys. Bird droppings are scattered everywhere, and monkey urine fills the hollows in the rocks. A light rain is beginning to fall and mix with the urine. Look how the animals run to drink from those filthy puddles. My precious children, do you understand what you are looking at? Let me tell you what my Sheikh told me about life in this world. The heart is a hard, rocky mountain. And what do you find in this heart of stone? All the disgusting things of the world, the waste products of the monkey mind and desire that have been washed down the mountainside by the rainwater of karma, filling all the hollows of that heart with dirty water. Snakes, scorpions, and other such creatures come here to this hard heart and joyfully imbibe the prejudices of race, religion, and caste, the differences of I and you, the desire for land, gold, and sensual pleasures, and so many other dirty things. They consider this filth delicious, and eating it makes them very happy. This is what my sheikh taught me when he brought me here. My children, look at the shepherd standing under the tree over there. Do you know what that tree is? It is called Katpaha Varudcham. It contains the power of God, the light of the grace-awakened wisdom of Jnanam. From that power, you can receive whatever you ask for, whatever you think of. Come, let us go closer. When my sheikh brought me here, the same shepherd approached us and paid his respects. He carried a flute, a conch, a discus, and a staff for herding the animals. Do you know him? He is Qutb Muhyiddin. He receives his help from God, from the Katpaha Varudcham, and it is his job to take food from that tree and give it to all people. He is the one who is in charge of the grazing beings that you see. He is the wisdom beyond intellect, which teaches, analyzes, and controls. That is the state of Qutbiyat. Those who understand and learn this wisdom are human beings, but those who do not are animals. Born in karma, they continue to live in karma, devouring their own hell. Then they themselves are devoured by the earth and fire, only to be born again and again and again. When they first come to the world as human beings, they have six levels of wisdom, but those who fail to understand that sixth level during their lifetime descend to the fifth level in their next birth. From an exalted state, they are reborn lower and lower, each time losing more and more of their wisdom, until finally they are born as snakes, scorpions, worms, grubs, and insects, without any analytic wisdom whatsoever. The shepherd of all these beings, Qutb Muhyiddin, bowed down in obeisance to my sheikh, the Noor Muhammad, and asked us to follow him to a place where there were various daises, or small platforms. Again, the shepherd bowed and invited the two of us to sit upon the place reserved for human beings, the dais of grace, awakened wisdom, and divine knowledge. Those who are invited to sit here have received God's grace, his justice, equality, peace, and tranquility. Their souls have attained freedom, and they regard all lives as equal to their own. The food given to them by the Katpaha Varudcham tastes different from that which is given to the others. Each being receives whatever is appropriate for his form, his wisdom, thoughts, and intelligence, and each will perceive the taste, the sweetness, the light, and the honey of this food according to his own qualities. Pass.
Thank you. Sarah, would you like to read?
Thank you. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. The conch and the flute. My children, it was long ago when my sheikh brought me here and we sat upon this platform. After we sat for a while, the shepherd picked up a conch and flute and blew the conch. My sheikh explained to me, this conch is the heart, and this is the sound you must make with your heart. The moment the created beings of the world hear that sound, they will all gather around and wait for the music of the flute. The flute is divine knowledge, and the melody it plays is composed of God's words and actions. You must play this instrument with wisdom and truth, with the music and sound of God's qualities, and with the faith, certitude, and determination known as Iman. The day you reach this state and play this conch and flute, all created beings will come to you for their food. You will be the one who attends to their needs. You must take from the Katpaha Varudcham what each one requires and give it to him. From God's tree, you must take his grace, his rahmah, and feed it to all creations. even to the weeds, the ants, the worms, and 84,000 kinds of insects. You must give to each according to its qualities, actions, and needs. My children, this is the connection we must establish between our hearts and God, the one who is our sustainer and protector, the one who gives us food and love. With love in our hearts, we must praise him and play the music of the flute for him. We must say, oh God, you are the Kapaha Verdicham, the pure and perfect one, the father of the soul. You are the most merciful and the most compassionate, the Rahman and the Rahim. You are the one who feeds us, and it is you who must send the food that will fulfill the needs of all these creations. Now, children, watch while I play the instruments. First, I will blow the conch and then play the flute. Do you see the creations hurrying to eat? Look, plates of food are floating down through the air to each created being. A plate is also floating towards us, a plate of light with resplendent rays showering in all directions. Look at the ambrosia, the light which comes from God. This is the food for the human beings who have divine analytic wisdom. In each morsel, you will find 70,000 tastes. Now look at the food which has come to the others. Watch how they eat like animals. Without even using their hands, they ravenously lap up the food with their mouths. The more they are given, the more they want. Some who have finished their own food are greedily stealing from those around them and frantically trying to devour as much as they can before the next call of the flute. We must watch over them until then. Now look at the ones who are patiently waiting for the second call of the flute before eating. They are the ones who will one day become human beings. My children, God's sound must come from the flute and speak to us. Those who find clarity and wisdom in this melody will change into human beings. Those who do not understand will hear the flute, but they will not know what it means. Did you notice how some were grabbing the food from one another? This is how animals act. They feast upon the food of others and steal their wealth and property and possessions. Only when they have usurped freedom of others do they themselves feel free. Look closely at those beings. When we first watch them grazing, we assumed they were animals because of their actions, qualities, and intelligence. They behaved like donkeys, monkeys, foxes, dogs, and other animals. However, my children, if you look closer, you will see that their bodies and faces are those of human beings. But this is just the outer form. Look again, even more intently, and you will see all the animals that are deep within them. Snakes, scorpions, birds, worms, insects, and poisonous creatures. Look at their qualities and the way they eat. What you are seeing is their inner state. My children, one who discards these animal qualities will become a true human being. He can understand the wealth of the soul, the wealth of grace, the wealth of life, and true freedom. He can understand the ocean of divine knowledge and receive the wealth from the Kapaha Verdicham, from God's tree. That tree gives to each person whatever is needed according to his state and his level of understanding. Did you see the food it brought for you? The food was not grown on the earth. It was not the same as the food the others received. Did you see what came for me? Was it like theirs? No, it was light, the food of the divine knowledge of Ilm, the tasty honeyed food that comes from God's kingdom. This food is his secret. It contains his taste, his qualities, and his actions. You must understand this. Thank you. Pass.
Thank you. Fatima, you want to read? Fatima, you want to read? You have to unmute.
Where do I start?
Okay, where did we end up? Hold on. I think it's page 15, listen.
Yeah, page 15.
Okay, thank you, sorry. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Listen, the next call of the flute has come. Those who are waiting have now begun to eat, but some still do not have the wisdom to know how they should eat. Even though they resemble human beings on the outside, They do not yet have enough human understanding to know how to receive what they need from the tree. They only waited for a second because they were trained to wait, just as they were trained to follow the sounds of their ancestors, who told them to hold on to their race, religion, and philosophy. They were simply trained to do so, what was done by those who came before them, but they do it without understanding. And that is also how they act when they hear the sound from the conch or the melody of the flute. They react automatically in the way most familiar to them, copying the ways of those who went before them. I'll read a little bit more. The food of light. Come, my children. Now that the others have finished, it is time for you to eat. The plate made of light may appear to be empty, but it holds a special food that is meant for you. Only your tongue of divine wisdom will know its taste. Place this food on your tongue of divine wisdom and savor it. It is the pure and exquisite sweetness of God's divine knowledge and qualities. Within each drop is the nectar of awakened wisdom and the ambrosia of grace. Place this food on your tongue of divine wisdom and savor it. Each taste has 70,000 flavors, which will satisfy your stomach and sweeten your body and innermost heart. Oh no, look, the animals are coming to steal your food. Do you see how they drool all over your plate with their tongues hanging out? Even though they don't know how to eat this kind of food, they want it. So let us give them some and see what happens. Look at them fight. It's for me. No, it's mine. They shout and they knock the plate to the ground. My children, those who lack the qualities of human beings and fail to understand the wealth of God, his divine knowledge, wisdom, and qualities, can never know his taste. Instead, they fight over it and end up knocking it on the ground. They try to devour truth and wisdom and God's qualities and actions in the same way that animals devour their food. But what do they end up tasting? Only the foul mountain water full of their own feces and urine and the grass at the foot of the mountain. They search for the world, for their birth, and for their karma, and they consider this wisdom. My children, did you observe the way in which those beings treated that plate, the plate filled with food for the liberated soul? They knocked it down and trampled it to bits, and now they are busy looking for something else to eat. The creations of the world cannot know the real taste of God's food. They can only taste it with animal perception, and what they will taste is blood. But when God's food is tasted with wisdom and God's qualities, the real taste will be known, resplendent and complete. The sweet taste of the kapcha vrtacham, the radiant tree of grace, is outspread, giving sustenance to all the beings in the primal beginning, in this world and in the hereafter. In Aul, Dunya, and Akara, only a true human being can discover the sweetness of that tree. My children, if you understand this explanation, you are a human being. But if you do not, you are still an animal without analytic wisdom. If you have changed those animal qualities, you have become a human being. But if you have not, you are no better than an animal. If your inner form has changed, you have become a real human being. But if it hasn't, you remain only an animal. Now, my children, we will blow the conch and play the flute once again. Most of the human beings have finished the food and are leaving, but look, two are still here and watching and waiting. Although they have the appearance of a horse and a cow, they seem to understand. Perhaps if the animal qualities within them depart, they will change back into human beings. Shall we ask the tree if it's time to go, my children? Oh, Katsha, Verduchim, you have given us our food, and now we ask your permission to leave. Look, the tree has burst into pure light. Can you see how the resplendent brilliance is enveloping us completely? Oh no, the horse and the cow are running back to the mountain. When the tree suddenly becomes ablaze, they could not see it for what it truly was. They could only see darkness, and so they ran away afraid. This is how some beings react when they perceive the power of light, truth, and goodness. They flee in terror because their selfishness within them makes them perceive that pure light is darkness. Each one will see this tree according to his own state. To those with the qualities and state of an animal, darkness is light and light is darkness. But for the wise man, pure truth is light. My children, this resplendent light is the completeness. It is God's grace. and his 99 duties and his actions, his vilayats. This is the kapacha virtuchum, and its power will give you whatever you ask. Listen, the light which enveloped us has opened and is speaking to us. You have transformed your qualities and passed the 9th test, and you must study for the 10th examination. In this next experience, you must learn about death and how to die before death. This is something you must understand. Look, my children, once again, the light has become a tree, and now it is time for us to move on. Pass.
Well, thank you. That's a good place to stop. We'll now break for our zikr practice, and then we'll resume in about 10 minutes.